Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition, Wednesday, May 14th, 2014. Only three more hours to worry about, hopefully, these high, dusty winds in southern Arizona. We'll get things rolling today with a conversation with District 1 Republican Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller. 20 past the hour, world-renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy. 30 past the hour, State Representative Ethan Orr's impressions of the just-concluded legislative session. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks, Buckmaster Education Contributor, talking about, is there an effort to basically dismantle public education in the state of Arizona? The Buckmaster Show live line is now open for you, 790-2040. Also, please check out our Facebook page as we hit 3,300 now, friends, folks following us on Facebook. More the merrier. Let's welcome Allie Miller now, Pima County Supervisor on the Buckmaster Show live line. Supervisor Miller, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, how are these allergies affecting you with this high wind?
Well, my eyes get itchy, but I'm lucky this year I haven't gotten any migraines like some people have, so I'm considering myself lucky.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Blowing out. We're surrounded by ironwood trees, and it seemed like everything bloomed at once. So
it certainly did. We desperately need rain.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about property taxes. Is it a question of how much the property taxes are going up in Pima County?
Well, this year with they broke out these decision packages, but if you add those in, basically the same services, we're going to be paying 61 cents more per $100 of assessed value for the same level of service. And this is a big question for a lot of taxpayers, is we're not getting any additional service. For example, the road, they're still only putting in $5 million from the general fund for road repair. That's a half of 1% of the budget. And what's happening, what I've been able to, cull out so far, is that we're losing a lot of federal grant money, that we used to get for the sheriff's department. We used to get something called the Stone Garden Grant, and there's other grant funding that is closing down. So as a result of that, we're now having to fund that with tax dollars from the taxpayers. And the other thing that we're doing is we're issuing an awful lot of, they're called certificates of participation. They're bonds that are paid for out of the operating budget. And I think, off the top of my head, I think we're around $176 million, somewhere in that area. We just issued $58 million more for the courthouse. And that's having an impact. And you're not getting better service. You're paying more for the same. And yesterday at the board meeting, we passed a two-year IGA with the University of Arizona to fund them $15 million per year for graduate medical education. I think they're doing a good job out there, but we did build the hospital out there with taxpayer dollars. We're paying for that with our taxpayer dollars in the secondary rate. And we shouldn't be funding graduate medical education when we have all of these other priorities. It's non-essential spending, it was a 4-to-1 vote because I believe that we should be focusing on the core services of the county. And with less money coming in from all of these grants and all of these other various revenue streams, we need to be, we can't be, we're basically giving grant money to the U of A from the county coffers. And we're giving them that money to use for a select group of individuals, not for the community at large, and that's where I have the problem with it.
For folks who don't follow closely what's going on with the Pima County Board of Supervisors and only get their news through the newspaper or on the radio, it seems like you're the one dissenting vote most of the time. But you contend, really, that's not the majority of your votes against something.
No, roughly 90 to 95% of the time I vote with the board. They're the real, issues that I think are most important, that, as they say, you pick your battles. And the budget is one that I feel very strongly about. Taxpayers, I mean, 61 cents per $100 of assessed value. And if you're like me, my valuation went up $50,000 this year. It went up $50,000 last year. And most people I've talked to, their valuations went up. So this is going to have a huge impact on people because, as you know, the tax bills are 6 months in arrears. So that last year's hasn't caught up with folks, but I think this year will be the real wake-up call for people, coming up in November when they first get that bill in November. Then they're going to realize their house payments are suddenly adjusted to go up, and what's going on here? So I think this is a huge increase in taxes with the same level of services. They're not increasing the services. We are not doing more for roads. What I've been able to get through the budget, and we do have a meeting on Friday to get a lot of questions answered, but to start out by doing this two-year IGA is very disturbing to me.
Ellie Miller is with us, Pima County Supervisor. She is a Republican representing District 1. The other Republican on the board is Ray Carroll, and of course, you and Ray have had a very highly publicized disagreement on numerous issues. How is that going right now?
I think Ray, for example, Ray voted for this U of A funding. He has his, the decisions he makes, that he owns them. And we disagree on things like that, but the issues that were publicized, I think you may be referring to what came out in the Arizona Daily Star regarding the bullying.
Yeah.
I did not make that public. I just want to say, put that on the record. We were told it was confidential information, but then we were told that it was not. So when that came out and the whole transcript came out eventually, and people can judge for themselves. They can read it and judge for themselves. I simply, as an employer, as an employer, you are responsible for providing a safe and threat-free workplace. I was told that wasn't the case, so the people that I wasn't even present for much of the things that took place, so I just wanted to make sure that an investigation occurred and that I had documented that I had made sure that I was providing a safe workplace for my employees. And and the finding by Mr. Huckleberry, who works for Mr. Carroll, was that he did nothing wrong. So he should be happy with that.
Your understanding was that this information would not be made public. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I was given a confidential document. I was told I couldn't even share it with the employees who testified. I was never asked to testify, because I personally had no issue whatsoever with Mr. Carroll. Whenever I did have one brief confrontation with him in the hallway, and he turned around and walked away because he was yelling at one of my employees, and that ended. He walked away. Boom, it was done. But I was told it was confidential, that I couldn't even share it with the employees who were interviewed. And when it came out in the paper, as you might imagine, they were quite upset because they were told it was confidential and that they couldn't discuss it with anybody. And then I contacted the county attorney and the HR director, and they both told me, once an investigation is complete, it's public record. And I was not informed of that, unfortunately, so I wasn't even able to give them a copy of what the person who interviewed them had written down. And so, we live and we learn that this is the way that it works. And so now, hopefully nothing like this will happen again. And it'll, we'll have a more harmonious relationship down there.
Is it a little more, are you going to make an effort to make it more harmonious? And it's not just you, of course. It takes two to tango.
Yeah, I haven't been tangoing with Ray, personally. The tangoing was going on with my employees.
Okay.
Specifically an intern and another young staffer. So I've had no issues personally with Ray. He has no impact on me whatsoever. So there is nothing to resolve between Ray and I, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. We're quickly running out of time, but you said there is a meeting on the budget on Friday. Is that correct?
Yeah, I put an item on the agenda yesterday to request that we have, the board vote to approve a study session. They voted that down. And so my staff and I are going to have a private meeting with the finance director and go over issues and questions that we have. There will be no public study session, unfortunately. And it's really kind of disappointing because Mr. Huckleberry had put out a memo where he welcomed public input and welcomed public participation, and we actually quoted him. And that wasn't welcomed, and public input isn't welcomed. They can get down and speak out in a call to the audience, but when you can't have a back and forth between the various board members with the public able to view that and asking why we're spending money here, et cetera, I think it's so important to have study sessions, and every other jurisdiction does it with much smaller budgets. Even the city of Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, they all do it. They have their discussions over, what they're doing with their tax dollars and how they're spending it, and over just large ticket items. You need to have a discussion over that among the board members, and you can't legally do it unless it's in a public forum where the public is allowed to see it. So that's why I put it on the agenda. We will be having a private meeting with some of the county staff to get our questions answered. And I'm hoping next Tuesday when we have the meeting that no one will call the question, which stops all debate. And it isn't debate, it's simply asking questions that the public wants to hear answered. So I'm hoping that we're able to allow these questions to come forward and get answered so that people feel comfortable with their questions being answered and getting answers as to why their taxes are increasing when the services aren't.
All right, Allie Miller, we wanted to spend a half an hour with you at the time we usually spend with all the other supervisors, but as you know, we've had some scheduling issues.
Yeah, and I apologize for
that's
that.
Okay.
It's just been kind of a hectic time for our office, and it was definitely our office that had the issues with getting this coordinated. Well, but, we'll do better next time.
We will. We'll have you on for a half an hour the next time, and thank you very much for being on the program. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye. Allie Miller with us on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:17 on our midweek edition. We've got David Levy, the world-renowned comet discoverer. He will be up on the next call on the Buckmaster Live Line back after this.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
UA Biosphere 2's new ocean gallery and its large viewing windows give tour visitors a look under the surface of the existing Biosphere 2 ocean. Within the ocean gallery is the new Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit, which chronicles the storied 1940 journey of author John Steinbeck and marine biologist Ed Ricketts to the Gulf. Experience this remarkable journey for yourself. Come visit Biosphere 2 today. Info at b2science.org. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, the world famous Dr. David Levy, the contributor on science to the Buckmaster Show and the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Of course, David Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history with 23 notches on his belt for all of the comets he has been involved with discovering. David, how are you?
Well, do I have the honor of talking to the famous Dr. Bill Buckmaster, man with an asteroid name for him?
Yes, an asteroid name
great.
For
how
me.
How are you?
Doing very well, but no doctor. But very proud, though, of the asteroid name for me.
Thank you.
And you had.
And I have to worry about the notches in the belt because some of those are such wonderful memories. They notch the belt so much that the pants could fall down if I find another one.
And David, of course, was very instrumental in getting that asteroid named for me, and I'm very happy about that. David, what about this big meteor shower that's coming up? This one is supposed to be fantastic. May 24th?
It is, and not only is it fantastic, but I believe it has already started. I just a few minutes ago was reading in a mailing list called Meteor Obs, and it's a meteor list where people are starting to see bright fireballs coming from the area where the shower radiant is going to be in the next 10 days or so. And so I think it's already starting to pick up. I saw one about 5 days ago, and it was about a -2 fireball, and it was moving very slowly, so it lasted for a few seconds before it disappeared, and it was wonderful. This is something that you guys do not want to miss. It'll be on the 24th of May, Friday night, between midnight and 1 a.m. Tucson time. And what we'd like you to do is to go outside, look anywhere in the sky, but probably to the north, east, or west, and just see where they're coming from. And it's predicted that it'll be at least the strongest meteor shower of the year, and it could be even better than that. And I'm not going to go beyond that prediction except to say that you don't want to miss this.
You said minus two. Is that what scale is that of?
Minus two is the magnitude scale that Father Argelander invented. Zero magnitude stars is the brightest stars in the sky, like Vega, Deneb, and Altair are about that brightness. And a meteor that's brighter, minus two or brighter, is typically called a fireball.
Oh.
And that's why I thought this barely qualified, and certainly is something worth, certainly was something worth reporting. Now, I just reported this a few minutes ago on the Meteor Obs mailing list, so I'm very excited about to be able to do that.
All right. How about the quote of the day or the quote of the month?
The quote of the day is a shorty. It has to do with from Walt Whitman. Well, it's not the one you think it is. It's another one. He says, "Give me the splendid silent sun with all his beams full dazzling." And I'm saying that because of something that I forgot to put on the list to discuss today, and that is that there will be a partial solar eclipse later this year in the fall. We'll talk about that at another time, but just wanted to alert your listeners that there will be a partial eclipse of the sun coming up. And there's a total eclipse in 2017 that will not be over Tucson, but it'll be over the northwestern part of the country. And 2024, there will be a total eclipse of the sun right over the site of our Adirondack Astronomy Retreat.
Oh, which is coming up in August.
Yeah, coming up this year in August. That is something that gives my wife Wendy and me so much joy. We just enjoy this event so much, and it's really like family getting together. The group is limited to 40 people because the site won't handle more, but it's one of the darkest nights we've seen in the northeastern United States ever, and it's just a beautiful place for not looking at the night sky and reminding ourselves why we got into this in the first place.
David, what about lunar eclipses? We had a highly publicized lunar eclipse within the past month.
Ago.
Yeah.
And wasn't that gorgeous?
I mean, very nice.
Just around midnight here, and the moon just turned a coppery, dullish red color. And we're going to have another one at the end of the year, not long after the solar eclipse, I think. And then I think there's supposed to be two more next year. So we're getting a set of about four of these things. And, you know, in the 60s we had these, we had some in the 80s, and now we're having some now. And people are saying how this is, on the web, they're saying that these are a precursor to the end of the world. That is not the case. They're just lovely things to look at. Eclipses are a coincidence of nature and well worth looking at.
Well, your reassurance certainly makes us feel better, those that are worried.
I hope so, sir.
That it is the end of time. David, with your observatory, I just was curious. I have never, in 26 years here, seen dust and wind like we have had over the last month. Does that impact your viewing?
It certainly does. In fact, last night, Wendy and I took a large roll of duct tape and wrapped it all around the observatory to keep the dust off it. And what we had to do was raise the whole building into the sky so we could get it on the bottom. But it's going to be very hard to remove the duct tape when the dust settles.
There you go. We've only got about 90 seconds because we're going to take a hard break today with the news. But we do have Dan on the Buckmaster Show live line. Quick question, Dan, for David Levy.
Yeah, very quickly. I'm very curious about whether we know if the sun and the Earth's center are destined to become colder or hotter in the near future.
That's a very good question, Dan, and I appreciate your asking it, and the answer is no. In the far distant future, like billions of years from now, the sun will get hotter as it runs out of hydrogen, but certainly not in the near future. And the Earth will simply continue to cool down very, very slowly, and certainly not at a noticeable rate.
All right, David, you are just full of good news today. We really appreciate it.
I don't know.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, and our best to your lovely wife, Wendy. Thank you, David Levy.
Thanks so much.
All right.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Pentagon says the U.S. is using surveillance drones to search for the kidnapped Nigerian schoolgirls. A senior U.S. official says at least one Global Hawk surveillance drone is being used, along with a manned MC-12 aircraft. Fire crews fighting a brush fire near Camp Pendleton, the Marine Corps base in California. Marine Corps officials say the blaze started at the Naval Weapons Station in Fallbrook, north of San Diego, spread to more than 100 acres. Residents in nearby military housing have been told to evacuate. North Dakota is appealing a federal judge's ruling that overturned a state law banning abortions as soon as a fetal heartbeat can be heard. Stocks lower on Wall Street. The Dow is down about 102 points, while the NASDAQ is trading 29 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They've got the 19th annual Silver City Blues Festival coming up over the Memorial Day weekend, which is just around the corner. That means a lot of fun, actually, is what it means, because you've got 9 Saturday and Sunday performances, all free to the public. Alvin Youngblood Hearts Muscle Theory, I guess a really top group coming in, and a bunch of others. Anyway, Silver City, 3.5 hours east of Tucson, should be fun over the Memorial Day weekend. Great places to stay and things to do in historic Silver City. Check out southwestnewmexico.org, places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge. Joining us now, District 9 State Representative Ethan Orr, Republican. Representative Orr, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's our pleasure. We noticed on Facebook that former Congressman Jim Colby was headlining. Oh, you had a fundraiser. Was it Monday night?
Monday night. Very successful fundraiser. And, you know, Jim Colby's support means a lot to me. He's as many of us know, a Tucson institution, a pragmatic Republican, and his support really kind of shores up the independent and the centrist vote for me.
And you will not have a primary opponent.
No, I do not. Petitions are due in 2 weeks, but I went to my LD meeting, my legislative district meeting. It was a wonderful meeting, very spirited discussion, very good discussion, but I have no primary opponent.
What about this last legislative session? Summarize, how was it for you?
I was highly effective. I cannot imagine a better session. The governor signed 6 bills. They were all very, very important to Southern Arizona. The things I fought for are Southern Arizona institutions, the U of A, the Pima County JTED, Pima College. We even got more money for roads.
Really?
Yes. I was able to work with a number of people, including the speaker, to get an additional $30 million, which means from the Highway User Revenue Fund, $4.5 million will go to the city, $4.5 million will go to the county, all for roads. When I go back, I want to completely restore that fund, but this is a good down payment on that.
And you were kind of, they call it what, the gang of...
Six,
gang
that's right.
Of six. yourself and 5 other individuals, moderate Republicans who believed moderation is kind of the way to go.
Well, and I think it is a pragmatism, but more than that, it's, you know, when I think about who I want Arizona to be, it's people like Barry Goldwater and Mo Udall and Carl Hayden. And one thing, even though Mo Udall and Barry Goldwater were, and Jim Colby was telling us a story, even though they were across stark differences in the ideological spectrum, when Mo Udall was on his deathbed, Barry Goldwater was there every single day. That's what we want. It's not about saying, I'm right, you're wrong. It's about being able to solve problems together.
How about veterans? The last time we talked, you were trying to get some benefits for the veterans in the state.
Very effective in terms of serving our veterans. One of the things I believe that if you've served our country, we need to honor that and serve you. One of the 6 bills that I had mentioned, the governor signed it. I work with a group called the Missing in America Project. There are 8,000 cremated remains that are unclaimed. We believe 2,000 of them are veterans, like a homeless Vietnam veteran. We did not have access of that. So now that that my bill is now, once it becomes law, I will be able with this group to identify the remains, and then at no cost to the public, we give them an honor guard and an honor burial down in Sierra Vista. It's an amazing ceremony. But more importantly also, for the veterans that are alive, I was able to do a number of things. I worked with the U of A and Pima College for the veterans that, when they're separated from their unit, to make sure we have a seamless transition. We support them in our higher education institutions. And then also last year, and I built on that a little bit this year, if you have a skill set in the military, being someone that gets other people jobs through my agency, I found that your credentialing is often very difficult with the state. And so I have people that are EMTs in the military, but we don't give them the state certification. One of my bills last year solved that problem. So if someone can go into a combat zone and provide medical care, I believe they can do that on our ambulance crews as well.
What are you hearing from your constituents?
I'm actually very, very good. I feel very confident. I feel very good about my reelection chances. Everything I hear from the district, especially people who have to make things work, they're very appreciative of the hard work that I put in. One thing that I've done, even if I disagree with someone, I do it respectfully, and I do it in what I believe is a logical sequence of events. And so people, while they may not like one vote or another, they tend to support me.
What did you think of this budget, this final budget? And as you asked, kind of two-part question, one of the things we'll be talking with Professor Hendricks, who, as you know, is our education contributor to the show, he's going to be up in our next segment, is what many are saying is this war on public education.
Well, I'm not a fan of the budget. I was the only Republican that voted against the first iteration of the budget, and one of that, basically, had I not voted for the budget, the U of A, the Pima College, and the JTED money would have gone to zero. Mm-hmm. And so that right there is about $10 million for our community.
Disassembly of the public education piece by piece. Well, people feel that there are decision makers who would like to see actually public education go away.
And I'm not one of them. A book that was very good, I read Reign of Error, and the big vote this year was 2291. It was about moving to ESAs based on geography. Mm-hmm. And I voted against it. I actually was one of six that held it from the floor, and then they voted. It actually failed 27 to 31. And the reason I voted against that bill is I do believe in school choice, and I think it starts with is a well-funded, well-functioning community neighborhood school where everyone can go regardless. Because one of the difficulties, in fact, I was at Flowing Wells earlier this morning talking to their superintendent, and we were talking about the difficulties with some of the charter schools, which are excellent in concept, but if you allow them to cherry-pick the good students and dump the bad students onto the neighborhood schools, then you're making life difficult for everyone. There needs to be an institution where everyone in the neighborhood can go and get a great education.
Ethan Orr is with us, State Representative, District 9. Mr. Orr is a Republican. We've been talking about the recently concluded legislative session. It concluded in about 100 days. I think that was one of the goals. And, it was about that length.
It was good. And like I said, for me, it was a very effective session. Mm-hmm. We are going back into special session in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. The CPS, previously AKA known as Child Protective Services, and I the new name kind of slips my mind right now.
I was actually just at the Capitol yesterday. There are a number of us that are working behind the scenes. One of the things yes, you have to focus on reelection, but it's more important to do the job than to get reelected to the job. So I've been working with a group of people up at the Capitol to really kind of fine-tune this bill. One thing that I'm working very hard is child care subsidies. Basically, this is the pathway to prosperity, or at least a pathway of providing for your family. If I'm a single mom or a single dad or a low-income family, but if I can't provide daycare, I can't get a job. Mm-hmm. This is the Republican Welfare to Work initiatives from the 90s that they did in a bipartisan way. And what we saw in 2008 when we cut those programs, the cases of neglect spiked. And so you clog the system with all these neglects. It's very cost ineffective. And then you miss a lot of the abuse cases because there's so many cases in there.
Well, Ethan Orr, we've interviewed, I think there's like 8 or 9 Republican candidates for governor. We interviewed a gentleman by the name of Frank Riggs, a former congressman who's running, one of the 9 running for governor. Have you taken a stand, or are you endorsing anyone?
I'm staying out of the primary race. It is going to be an ugly race in many ways, but I think one thing that I'm trying to do with the Republican Party is I know there's some divides and some harsh words that have been said over the past
it's
years.
It's gotten nasty.
It doesn't have to be nasty. And I remember talking to Eddie Basha when he ran for governor in 94, and he said, you know, you can disagree without being disagreeable. And that's kind of been the hallmark of my political sense is, yes, you can disagree, and you can disagree passionately, but you can also do it respectfully.
How about for the disadvantaged? Anything come out of this legislative
session? Yes, I was actually able to secure additional funding for people with developmental disabilities.
Which is your business.
It is.
When you're not at the legislature, that's what you do.
And that's, yes. In fact, one of the things, we helped 855 people find work last year, and there is no better job than doing that. You take a young man or a young woman that has an IQ, and I believe everyone's created for a purpose, so if they have an IQ of 70 or 80, that doesn't matter. They can have a meaningful and productive way to be a part of society. And so what we do, we build training centers like companies like Safeway. I own a janitorial landscaping company where we take homeless people who have a mental illness and teach them how to work. And there is no better way to change society than to make sure everyone has a job and everyone has the desire to have a job.
And these young people, I'm sure it just lights them up, doesn't it?
Absolutely. They
have a job to go to. And
everyone wants to contribute.
They do, and they want to feel like they are contributing and that they're a part of the whole picture.
Yes.
Yeah. Ethan Orr, thanks a lot for being with us, and good luck.
Thank you. Bill, I always appreciate a chance to be here.
Thank you very much. Be right back.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Doug Martin.
I thought I just saw you.
Diana Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
David Sluth.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are going to be talking now more about education, specifically public education, with the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, who knows a little bit about education. He is the Associate Professor Emeritus at the UAN College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He has taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy level at the master's and doctoral level. The former superintendent of Flowing Wells School District, Dr. Hendricks, was Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. Bob, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
What do you think about all this talk about this, the decision makers, some of them want to disable public education, and maybe some of them actually would like to see it someday go away, that all education in this state was privately centered?
Well, you know, I'm not absolutely certain that that's happening, but, you know, one could believe that there's an insidious plot because when you hear the rhetoric, certainly in our current legislature and in past sessions, there are people who seem to push this issue that we want to privatize education. And we do that by supporting more budgetary funds to them, and you take it away because there's only one pot of money. So if you take it out of the public sector and direct it towards the private sector, there's going to be less money. And as a result of that, you know, perhaps the schools are going to be faltering because of the lack of funding.
When did this all start?
Well,
the whole movement toward
ESAs have really been around for at least half a decade, but you know the real impetus behind it came with the court decisions that said you could really commingle state funds, you know, particularly for religious or faith-based schools. And about 75% of schools in Arizona are faith-based, and so there has been There's been a movement towards providing vouchers to students, and it's still a very limited population of students that can get those vouchers. They have to be attending a school that by state standards is failing, either with a grade of D or a grade of F. And so that's a limited pool of students right now, but the current legislature tried to expand that pool, and we heard Representative Orr talk about the fact that they wanted geographically to expand that by zip codes. Mm-hmm. And so they looked at the zip codes in the state where there was large clusters of families that were that met the federal poor standard. And what they were going to do, or what they proposed to do, was to take those zip codes, and any student living within those zip codes would have qualified for these ESAs, which are empowerment scholarship accounts.
Jim Kelly is a caller, regular. We're glad to have Jim as a regular caller to the program, listener. Jim has a question for Bob Hendricks. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Bob. You know, I'm not so sure that our legislatures or more conservative legislators are wanting to destroy public education as much as they are wanting to change the way the districts behave economically and financially. Not enough money is getting to the classroom to the student. and they're blaming the districts, and so many of them are so large, it's difficult to even get voters to turn out, either for bond issues, or even in just the Sunnyside School District, less than 5,000 people are going to be voting on this recall. So it's not destroying public education, but it's changing the way that public education is administered and the way the money is administered. How do you feel about that?
Well, and I prefer the word dismantle rather than destroy, but I think there are some very legitimate concerns about administrative costs. But if you look behind the curtain and see what some of those administrative costs are, there's a lot of things counted in that formula. School security, administrative costs for counselors and librarians and health services, and some of those services, are legitimate. But I clearly agree that the percentage does not look good for the state. Although, actually, if you look at the percentage compared to other states, it does tend to be favorable.
Okay, Jim, thank you for calling on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. Could you foresee a day where public education will be to the point where, well, it will not even exist in Arizona? I mean, are public schools going to be with us?
I think they're going to be with us, but they are going to have to look differently. And again, we have to decide, you know, what services are we going to provide? You know, one of the very, very heavy responsibilities that public schools have are for children with special needs. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for public schools to compete with entities, whether they're private or charter, that don't provide those services to the extent that they're even capable of doing, because the funding sources and needs for those children are mounting, and the percentages of that population are mounting. So there is that issue that I think public schools are contending with. The whole ESA concept, I think, is started out in a very good way, and it actually started by addressing special needs students, and then it expanded to students that were attending schools that were failing, and now we want to expand it again. But I think one of the areas that we have to address is how much do we want to invest in public money in private schools and homeschooling. Now, we're not talking about charter schools, because charter schools are public schools.
Yes.
We're really talking about this private entity, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and this homeschool entity. And we're giving in state dollars approximately $5,000 per student, which, by the way, is less when public schools spend. But we're giving essentially a check for $5,000 for a student to attend a private school, or $5,000 for a child to be homeschooled.
Really?
Yes. If a child has special needs, depending on the formula, that could be upwards to $20,000 per student.
So now, the family gets a check for $5,000 if they're homeschooling?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Now, one of the issues, and I think it's going to be a campaign issue in this session, is that money is discretionary money. It's earmarked for the parent to be used for educational purposes. Mm-hmm. But the state recently reported that there's almost $2.5 million of unspent money that has been received by parents in the past 3 years. And that's almost $1 out of every five. Now, how do they know this?
Yeah.
I think the information that they have is very anecdotal, but mm-hmm, there's some pretty tremendous numbers out there that make you question, you know, what is the auditing function? What's the accountability for this money?
Yeah, what's the oversight on all that?
it is legitimate that parents can save some of this money and apply it towards college expenses.
Okay.
But whether they're doing that or not, actually the Arizona Department of Education cannot tell you that, even though they know that they have the responsibility for oversight.
Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much, and we will be with you next month. Thank you very much for being with us, Bob.
Happy to be here.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8. Then Christy Simone with the Daily Double Show. Chris and a guest host, a different guest host every day. I will be taking a little bit of vacation time. We'll have a combination of some best of shows that we feel are worth certainly a second listen. And we'll have some live programs. Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News will be pinch hitting, as will Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star, all shepherded in the very capable hands by the ace producer, Rosemary Brandt. Rose will be here while I'm off on vacation. So on behalf of Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.